Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday here at the Chuck and Julie Show. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, brought to you by...
Brought to you by Denver Cenogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan and a great landscaping company. Take care of all your landscaping needs. They have trees, supplies. They build them, deliver them, etc. They build them. Yeah. Anyway, it's happytrees.co. Happytrees.co. We have coming up today, let me get the book here. We had him in a few months ago when his book first came out. Well, actually, it was several months ago. Roy Johnston, about a year ago, he wrote a book, 34 Days in Holding, America in the Balance, the 2020 Election, History Commentary, and a Warning. And he had to update it because the warning that he was giving wasn't even close to how bad it's become. And so he's going to come up and give us an update on his book and his research coming up at 3:30.
The chronology, the worst presidency in the history of the United States.
Yeah. And even the Democrats agree with that, too. But first, I want to talk about that and let you know, for the first half hour, 888-627-6008. If you want to call in, 888-627-6008. If you're watching us on Zoom, go ahead and you want to either just raise your hand or go ahead and just unmute yourself and bring your camera up and we will see that and bring you on.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we want to go into another talking about the world's worst presidency. Biden today is over in the Middle East. And disastrously can't figure out how to get off a plane.
Oh no, is there more?
Yeah, he's just, where am I? And he sees some woman, so he starts wandering toward her, you know, hey, honey, can I smell your hair? But it's just been going day by day, farther and farther down. His CivQuiz poll number, I think 30, up from 29. New York Times, 33%. I mean, just amazing stuff.
Well, and what you're seeing is, it's interesting. You know, you've talked before that there always is in politics sort of a drumbeat, right? And here, Chuck, scooch over. You mean Chuck is always thinking, there's
Hi,
a
everybody.
Line here.
Yeah. How we doing?
There is, you know, sort of a feeling you get at a momentum one way or another. And even the liberal media, New York Times, Washington Post are starting to hammer on Joe Biden. And all over the place now you see the thing, well, he's too old. Isn't he too old? I mean, the Denver Post this morning had an editorial. Oh, first, the front page story, I just have to say this, was like something about Trump in deep trouble over the January 6th testimony.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
No one else was even covering that. It didn't even, I mean, is that still going on?
George Brockler does.
No, okay, well, you know, I mean, but that was the idiotic headline. But on their editorial page, there was a saying Joe Biden is too old to run for president again. So he's just getting hammered. And we pulled a couple of sound bites. You know it's bad when beloved Dr. Jill,
the top medical doctor in the United States,
is even getting hammered too. I mean, and getting hammered for giving what should be, you know,
problem speech,
right?
Trying to suck up to Hispanics. And even that is a disaster. When you have that be a disaster and diversity and get attacked by Democrats, things aren't going well.
And because, you know, it's particularly because it's a speech that probably normally would have never even been covered, right?
No.
It's just, you know, Joe Biden giving a speech at something, right? That happens all the time. But this was such a disaster. Now everybody's covering it. And so she's trying to, as you said, suck up to the Hispanics, the Latinx. And even they're like, we don't call ourselves that. But anyway, could we please, TJ, play the Jill soundbite?
But we can't get those things on our own. Raul helped build this organization with the understanding that the diversity of this community, as distinct as the Bogotas of the Bronx, as beautiful as the blossoms of Miami, and as unique as the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio, is your strength.
And then to get to Tiffany. So first of all, that's not how you say bodegas, right? It's bodegas, right?
Bodegas.
So you would think, I mean, when I was in TV and reading a teleprompter, mm-hmm. you would spell it out phonetically. There are tons of words you maybe don't know how to speak. That was so many things. That was a stupid speech, number one. Nobody actually talks like that. It's like from the towering, you know, redwood forest. I mean, that's just dumb. And they're not breakfast tacos anyway. They're breakfast burritos, right?
Well, I mean, in San Antonio, they're breakfast tacos.
Well, whatever. But then, and I'll give her this. I mean, when I heard that, I'm like, well, that wasn't all that bad. She wasn't actually comparing people to breakfast tacos, but she's just getting hammered to the point where she apologized for it.
Well, she apologized saying, you know, I hope I didn't offend or give anything but the warmest praise and love to the Latinos. Notice she said Latinos, not Latinx, which they normally do. So she should, when they started out, they probably put Latinx and, oh, that'll get us. No, just say Latinos. Just say Latinos.
Just say brown people. No, I'm kidding. I didn't say that. Here's from Leo. Biden probably didn't get his breakfast tacos. Yeah, it's like Kamala Harris does. Biden was too old from Stephen in 2020, and let's ignore his two brain aneurysms. And from Leo, you can't spell it out for Biden on the teleprompter. He just said, end of quote, repeat the line. Good point. I mean, you're just don't give any speech. But I mean, normally the media has kind of stayed away from Joe, but she's been portrayed lovingly. Remember how awful it was when he was first elected, and because of the January 6th insurrection, they had all the troops and stuff there. And there's that picture of Joe Biden, like little Hansel and Gretel or something like that. She's got the little basket of like 14 cookies in it that she was taking out to the troops there, which was stupid. Like, oh, thank you. Like she actually made those.
But she's cookies. Not getting those, you know, Vogue covers or the People magazine, you know, inside the White House
anymore.
Jill Biden. She never did. I mean, she's never quite been able to kind of get the love that is afforded to Michelle Obama and some of the other Democratic ones.
But you know it's bad when she's being trashed by everybody for a speech that normally. And again, I would argue that that wasn't that bad.
It was terrible.
It was terrible.
Comparing people to food.
Not even just food, but to tacos. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, and you know, some poor speechwriter was like, what? I mean, you guys said it was okay.
It sounded great.
I don't mean to laugh, but it was just, but it's funny because clearly the honeymoon is over and they're trying to, not only are they trying to shove him out, they're trying to shove her out too.
Well, it's hard not to be, you know, they were all on the Biden bus, but when the Biden bus is heading over the cliff, they're, you know, they're jumping out of the Biden bus. I never liked that bus anyway.
Right. Well, and here's another one. But what's becoming harder for the Biden administration to do, and I'm sure they're like, wait a minute, all you fake news people were supposed to be covering for us.
That's why you are fake news.
Right. I mean, you're supposed to be saying it's Putin's gas price. You're supposed to be ignoring inflation, ignoring gas prices. You're supposed to be ignoring the border.
Emphasize how great the economy is doing.
That Afghanistan withdrawal was right on. Couldn't have been done better. Couldn't have been done better. And they're not cooperating there anymore at all. And they still, I guess, because they don't know what else to do, keep just repeating the lies, right?
Right, right.
So if we could please play, here's Joe Biden when he was confronted by a reporter, and they're actually letting reporters get, I mean, they
can't help it. I mean,
because it's all the reporters now, right? Before it used to be, they just have to keep Peter Doocy from Fox out of the way.
Right.
Now they're all asking him questions, and the rabbit, the Easter Bunny, wasn't around interference.
He's in another disguise here in Israel.
If we could please play the Joe Biden, this is Joe responding to a reporter asking him, how come everyone hates him?
Democrats who don't want you to run again.
They want me to run.
Two-thirds say they
don't. Read the poll, Jack. You guys are all the same. That poll showed that 92% of Democrats, if I ran, would vote for me.
A majority of Democrats say they don't want you to run again in 2024.
92% said if I did, they'd vote for me.
Primary voters.
Yeah, that was a CNN thing. You can see those Secret Service guys there. Should we tackle him? What should we do there? Where's the Easter
Get the bunny?
Bunny
out.
Where's the bunny? I mean, that's just not true, right? I mean, and Joe Biden, he gets crabby about it. Hey, Jack, you know, it's like, they do want me to run again. It's like, no, they don't, actually, Joe. No, the New York Times doesn't want you to run again. The Washington Post, even the Denver Post doesn't want you to run again. So you got to wonder, what's it like, and number one, maybe he thinks the 92, that's a question you have, is he, maybe he thinks 92% of the people.
Well, maybe it's right. Maybe there's some polls saying, would you vote, going to Democrats, would you vote for the Democratic candidate in 2024? And they say yes. And so he goes, well, if I'm the candidate, you know, I'm sure he could, you know, polls can be manipulated how you want to, but
well, and to that point from Stephen, yet polls for what they are worth show Biden beating Trump by 3 points if there's a rematch in 2024. That's just one poll, though, Stephen. There's other polls out there that show Trump beating Biden like 44-38. So polls are what they are. I think there are two things going on in there, though. Biden is not popular. He's not a popular president. No. And number two, Donald Trump remains popular
with the
Republican Party.
George Brockler, but
Sandra says now they should all be on the bus that goes over the cliff. You're right, Sandra. They're the one who drove us there. Then Leo was saying, Steve, that poll that you mentioned, the margin of error was 3%. Trending, though, I think it's just bad news. I mean, the consumer price index came out today. And again, you know, the government fudges that. And I think that's probably true of Democrats and Republicans. They fudge the numbers.
Oh, no. Democrats are so much smarter.
Well, Democrats fudge.
They always rig everything far more. You know, people go, oh, well, I guess it's not good.
It's up 9%. That's the highest it's been since 1981. I was reading a thing. It says it's like if it continues at this rate, which there is no reason to think it's going to not continue at this rate, the annual natural gas rate, if it continues, is going to be up 100%.
All right.
This year, and gasoline up 134%.
But a great economy.
And it's interesting, and people get it. I was having our son Rev. We got together with some other moms and kids today for he's 11. It's not really a play date. Anyway, for the kids to get
mothers together. Screwing off at a pool, drinking, getting drunk, rioting.
No, yeah, really.
It was just a bacchanal.
One of the moms was commenting, they have an RV and they have a boat. And she was saying, you know, they have to make a choice now. I mean, it wasn't a political discussion at all. It was just moms talking. And she was saying, we have to decide, can we take our RV out or our boat out because we can't afford the gasoline for both. And then one of the other moms was saying, hopefully, you know, it'll go away pretty soon. It always does. All the other moms, we were all like, why? I mean, there was absolutely zero reason to think it's going to go
away. Economy craters and you know, like it did in Germany in 1923. I mean, yeah, sure.
So, I mean, and that's a scary thing. This is a result of presidential and progressive policies that they know. This isn't some weird something going on somewhere. It's not Putin's gas price, right? These are policies deliberately put in place, knowing that this was going to be the result. They just figured that somehow people would not care, or that the the media lapdogs wouldn't report it. But when you've got the gasoline policies and the energy policies that this administration has, gas is only going to continue to go up. It's supply and demand, right? If they keep squashing the supply, the demand is there. People can't.
It's a Putin price hike.
Well, and then again, I think the conservative treehouse just always does such a great job. Right now, the average grocery bill is up 12% over this time last year. But that's only going to get worse because we're seeing the grocery prices that reflected the last crop season's fuel prices and fertilizer prices, right? So if gasoline and fuel and fertilizer and all of that has gone up by the end of the year, 100%.
Yeah,
right.
We can't give up on the liberal world order. I mean, come on, it's important to us, and we got to win that wonderful battle in Ukraine. They're doing nice things now. They're about to approve same-sex marriages, which is always good in the middle of a war. So that'll be good. And they're just working hard to do great things and show them they're right there with us.
Here we got from Leo, at least you know moms at the pool don't bring glass bottles. That's right. We're safety conscious. It's all plastic. From Jim, the rise in prices may slow, but they will never go down. Yeah, I think though,
if they do, it's never a good thing.
Jim, there's a reason that all the World Economic Forum people are talking about, you know, we need to learn to food shortages are just going to, just going to be a thing, right? And they want to do that so we don't have meat. Right? I mean, and again, I think you're going to have a heck of a hard time convincing a lot of people, okay, no, you're having your barbecue, no steak, no hot dogs, no ribs, but here's some bugs.
Yeah,
you know?
bugs.
And I don't know. If you guys, my daughter is sometimes into vegan stuff. And I'm sorry, it's just not that good. It's just not that good. It's not meat. Now, maybe if you were raised never eating meat and you
had survived childhood and you didn't die at 17 pounds,
kind of like in Soylent Green, you might be okay with all of
your
this.
Your parents didn't starve you to death.
But I think though, I fear that things are going to get a lot worse because again, there's this energy, these energy prices that has a ripple effect into everything. And we're just, you know, that's just being felt. Again, whatever the farmers are, well, first, if they were going to let farmers grow food. So you combine the fact that it's more expensive for farmers to grow food with the fact that they're letting farmers grow less food, then combine that with the fact that it's more expensive to get whatever food they are going to allow us to have to the grocery store. And I don't know, are we supposed to all ride our e-bikes and Lime scooters to the grocery store?
Sure,
I mean,
sure,
it's going to be, I mean, it's just going to get worse. And I don't know, and I didn't say this at the moms at the pool thing because I didn't want to, you know,
I didn't know
where everybody was coming from, but these are people in a non-political discussion. The one mom was like, well, it always gets better. And everyone was like,
shut up.
No, they didn't say that. They were like, I don't know what would make it better though. So, except Republicans winning.
Yeah. Some Republicans.
Let's see. This is from Stephen or from Dr. Donna. And another protein source falls. Exactly. Another protein source that falls through the grill. They break up and become mush or crumbs. Their scooters are orange. Well, there you go. Good enough for John the Baptist. The polis says give us that. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Do we have any petroleum reserves left? We have a little bit, but I think we're going to sell those to China, too.
Yeah,
so, well, I mean,
doing everything you can to help the Chinese in this time of need.
And that's where I go with, I mean, this is on purpose, right? So they, for political reasons, you know, say, okay, we're going to go, you know, dig into the petroleum ore reserves. And then they ship it to China. It's like, what? You know, what is up with that?
And you think somebody would say, hey, why don't we just sell it to Mobil, who sells in China or something.
But you could do some kind of backdoor deal, but it's not coming to us. And again, they don't want it to come to us. So
it's just amazing to watch the level of incompetence. I mean, it's world record.
Well, but see, again, I'm going to say it is not incompetence. I don't think. I think it's intentional. And I think what we're seeing, I was reading this in a column, and I think this is true.
Oh, it's intentional, but they could have hit it better.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they could have gone, you know, we're really trying hard
done
here.
Done it slower or something.
Well, not just somehow kind of go, what price? Well, they do that. What price tag? There's been no other. Prices are the same. 94% of Democrats love me. What are you talking about?
And that was a staff that they surveyed that polls said that. But, you know, I think we're watching, and this is what the column said, and it's true, kind of in real time, a real evolution, I think, of the two-party system here. The Democrats are increasingly becoming the party of the upper-class elites who make enough money and are isolated enough or have government jobs or, you know, nonprofit organization jobs that they don't care. And the only thing they care about are social issues. And from their point of view, they want to talk about Roe v. Wade, right? They want to talk about transgender rights. They want to talk about the Green New Deal. They want to talk and not really talk about it, but shove it onto all of the rest of us. And that's what the Democrat Party is anymore. To be honest, I don't know why anyone who is a Democrat, I changed years ago, that is still a Democrat, unless you're an upper class elite who thinks that somehow you're smarter than everyone else. And who cares if, you know, people have to suffer in order for this new social change to emerge. The Republicans are becoming the party of the middle class, but not only that, but they're becoming the party of the minority people and everybody else, essentially. The question is, will the Republicans be smart enough to take advantage of that?
Now, this is from Sandra. Did you hear the UC Berkeley professor response to Josh Hawley talk about the very stupid, moronic Democrats need to go? UC Berkeley. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, that was one.
We should have played that one.
Yeah,
where he says, now, well, what do you mean by that? He says, oh, well, I want to note that what you're saying is transgender hatred and you're causing death.
And
violence against trans. 1 in 5 tries to commit suicide because of you and what you said. And Hall is just going, what? Is it your class like this? I mean, you attack everybody?
Right.
Oh, my class is great. We have lots of fun. I bet you do.
Right.
And she's, I mean, she
but
was,
again,
she, that was a great soundbite we should have put on
sure,
here.
But given where things are in the economy, right? Again, I go back to this non-political group of moms talking about having to make a choice about, you know, do we, because the gasoline prices are so high, they're making real-time, real-life choices. And in Congress, they're arguing about transgender rights. It's like, you know what? Transgender rights, let's argue about that when everything is fine. And everybody, I mean,
that's hate speech, Julie.
Yeah, I mean, it's like
you're resulting in the death of transgender people and violence against them by that kind of statement.
I mean, even transgender people must use gasoline, right? You'd think that a few of them would say, you know, maybe we could talk about this. But here's another thing, too. I want to talk about just real life experiences. The other day, I ran into a photographer that I used to work with who was still working. And he was saying to me for a number of reasons, he's like, you know, you should be so glad that you got out. But this is in Denver. And he said, it's just dangerous out there anymore. He said, they're so low staff. They have to work solo, the photographers do, rather than with a photographer. And he said, you can't.
You made a reporter.
A reporter, rather. He said, you can't go downtown. He said, it's too dangerous to go downtown. He said, it's too dangerous to go to the Capitol. He said, it's too dangerous to go a lot of places. He said, people are being hurt. Equipment is being stolen. I mean, this is in downtown Denver, right? So you've got all the upper class elites would be like, oh, everybody, you know, Kyle Clark, who does not live in downtown Denver, will say stuff like, see, people are coming to Denver. Mm-hmm. And yes, there are some things going on in Denver. I give you that. But in general, the people who work in Denver and have to go to places in Denver are like, yeah, it's too dangerous to come here. I mean, thank you very much, Jared Polis. If we were going to talk about George Soros, you know, and, you know, that's not prosecute any criminals anymore.
Yeah. Well, it's just amazing. And I forget which state, I think it's Florida, that they said that, or maybe it was Texas, said, okay, yeah, it's Florida. You have to come back and go to work now. You can't just all sit at home. And they're like, wait, quit. This is unbelievable. The oppression that we go to work? No. You know, kind of, and then they can get, and then what they'll figure out, I gave up a government job. That was
yeah. Wow. Well, I was reading a report, government employment fell even last month, lost 9,000 jobs. With the reserve, this is from Jim, started with the reserve full at 700 million barrels, down to less than 500 million, if we can recover the last few drops. Then Sandra, it's dangerous everywhere in Colorado and in every city. Again, most of these cities are run by Democrats. And then Johnny Johnson, who is running, by the way, for House District, they're fixing it up for the homeless, LOL. Yeah, I mean, Denver came out with another report saying, oh, we need more money. Guess who? John Parvensky with the Coalition for the Homeless.
He's retiring, I saw.
That's why he needs to make some more money.
He's got such a huge pension, I'm sure.
It's just all, well, I thought you wanted to talk about the George Soros stuff a little bit.
Well, we don't have enough time. I was just thinking the other day how one person just sitting back in his farm in New Jersey, George Soros, or a state in New Jersey, and he goes, I got an idea. You know, the whole justice system depends on prosecutors. Nobody cares about prosecutors' races. If we throw money in there, we can destroy entire cities, whole portions of the country, and all in the name of good government. I mean, and he has. And they've just taken over city after city, Manhattan. Beth McCann is not a social justice warrior, but the next person will be.
Denver DA.
Yeah, maybe Tay Anderson. I mean, he'll be DA. And they haven't spent that much money. I mean, you know,
right.
In the greater thing, I mean, how much havoc has he created in San Francisco, LA, Philadelphia, Chicago, St. Louis, New York? I mean, it's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. So it just shows you what somebody with little brains, malevolence and money can do. I mean, it's just, and he just sits there. Oh, we love George Soros. Philanthropist. Remember that. He's a philanthropist.
Well, you know, you look at, we even had Ted Trimpa on our show a couple of Fridays ago, said, and he kind of just slid in. He goes, well, you know, some of the bail bond reforms have gone too far. I'm like, you think,
Ted?
It's like,
really?
No one gets, unless you're a January 6th Fed insurrectionist, nothing happens to you no matter what you do. I mean, again, years ago, we started talking about this on our show, that when you arrest a criminal and then you release them immediately without bond, no matter what the crime, no matter how many crimes they've committed before, no matter how many failure to appear warrants they have, it doesn't take the criminals very long to realize it doesn't make any difference. And then it doesn't take their friends very long to realize maybe that's what people are doing. Like, why am I working? Well, if I want a car, why don't I go steal one?
Yeah.
What's the worst thing that's going to happen?
Nothing.
I mean, literally nothing, you know? So you have the criminals out committing more and more crimes. Cities are getting dangerous. And you said, I mean, what I don't know is George Soros, do you think, and I think our friend Karen Cataline says this, he just wants destruction. I mean, is that what he's about?
Yes. He's Vishnu the Destroyer. I mean, he just figures out ways that he can just totally muck up the system and call that progress. I mean, he's done a great job of it. I mean, who would have thought, hey, we just got to throw money into prosecutors' races and you watch everything come down in the name of good government. Yay! In the name of reform and everything else. And it's just brilliant. It's just brilliant. And same with Secretary of State races. They were, right. Hey, let's run all these Democrats, call themselves Republicans, and then they can, and then we'll run one Democrat against another Democrat and Pam Anderson. I mean, just
in Colorado. Yeah, in Colorado. And the Secretaries of States, because those are the people then who control keeping, you know, election integrity a thing, right? And instead, if you have, you know, Secretaries of State like Jenna Griswold, where you don't, you know, ballot harvesting, mail ballots, all of that, then you can control the elections. I mean, you wouldn't think that, like you said, 10 years ago, like, you know, so take over the DA's office. You'd be like, what? Well, mm-hmm. Because there was a time when you would have thought that most DAs would have been like, well, I know I'm a DA, a district attorney. I represent the people. I will prosecute the bad guys. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't mm-hmm. think that the DAs would turn out to be like, no,
the bad guys. I'm running now.
Right. Well, the DAs would be, no, set the bad guys free. And if you're a, you know, a tax-paying American and you want to, you know, go to your school board meeting and complain about a policy,
we'll take care of
yeah,
you.
Then we're going to go ahead and arrest you. So, you know, again, I think that's why Joe Biden is so underwater. I think it's all kind of getting laid.
Here's
at his
Johnny.
Feet.
You heard an earful about Pam at the Arapo Tea Party meeting last night. How much about Pam Anderson, who's just as bad? I mean, it's awful. It's just awful that we've got a Zuckerberg queen and Janet Griswold is just a little Nazi. I mean, it's just.
Oh, no, we can't say that.
Oh, can't say that. Oh, maybe she's a Ukrainian Nazi.
No. Well, those aren't real Nazis.
No. Okay.
Ukrainian Nazis are not
she's
real
something.
Nazis.
Okay.
Well, I, you know, I think people are waking up. The difference is, hopefully people realize, you know, actually this isn't going to go away. It's not going to go away until we make it go away. Because
well, as long as you have ballot harvesting and you utilize it in Colorado, Democrats will never be out of power.
No.
And thanks to Ken Bucks, the world said we have the gold standard.
Well, you know, and back to the safety, we should have played this video too. I was busy today, so I didn't have time to pull it.
Sitting around the pool.
With the moms. Did everybody see the video of it's their two police officers? I forget what city it is. And there's two little kids in diapers still, diapers and underwear, right? So these are little kids and they're hitting the police officers and they're saying, you know, F you B word to the police officers. And people are taping and these are little kids. And I mean, a number of things going on there. Number one, why are these kids like outside running around in their underwear, right? I mean, normally that would be the kind of thing a police officer would say, where's your mom? You know, where's your mom? Now, one has to assume from the video that the parents or the mom or the dad or somebody was standing there watching it. But you wonder, well, you look at, remember when Mayor Hancock's son was arrested and he was mouthing off and swearing at the cops?
Yeah,
you wonder,
right.
Where do these kids, these little kids learn this, you know, F you, B word, yeah, from the mayor, from their parents. And again, and if you're a cop, now, you know, if you're a cop, you can't even move the kid away, right, without getting attacked. So,
right.
You know, the whole thing is a bad thing. And you can see why if you're a cop, again, Democrat policy. So let all the bad guys out, make it impossible for the police to do their job, make it difficult for them to do their job, give them no backing when they do their job.
Well, get them right? Arrested. Arrest them, indict them, send them to, I think. The George Lloyd one,
George Floyd
got 20 more years stacked on the other one, just kind of like, well, he's only given, you know, 40 years before, so why not, you know, the brave prosecutors got 20 more.
Well, yeah, exactly. If you're a police officer, then that's fine. But if you're an illegal alien rapist, then you can get to
which
go
is,
free.
Now we find out that the 10-year-old does exist from the abortion thing, and she was raped by an illegal alien.
They leave that part out.
They left that part out.
Yeah. They left that part out. Well, then maybe we can do some comments. Let's see. Sandra Heck, I do not have to leave home. Out back in the alley, I found on numerous occasions people injecting drugs via IV. This is a stay-at-home vacation, right? Yeah, they're being trained. From Stephen, how much safer would we all be if the southern border would be secured? So many of the crimes are drug-related, especially meth and by illegals. From Johnny Johnson, too much hip-hop music in the home and the parents think it's funny. And then Sandra, Dr. D, that would be so frightening having that going on in the back. Well, you know, there are, I think, a ton of reasons for all of this. And I think You know, we'll see if Roy comes, Roy Johnson, we're hoping to get him. Oh, is he?
Uh-huh. So I'm early, enter in early.
Roy, are you there? We can, I was watching my time there all of a sudden.
I'm here.
Yeah,
I see,
okay.
I told you.
Chuck was right, as usual.
Brilliant.
Well, so I was showing people.
Chuck's always right.
That's right. Exactly. That's right.
Exactly. This is Roy Johnson, an author. We've had him on before. He had a book, 4 Days in Holding, America in the Balance, the 2020 Election, History Commentary and a Warning. And I was saying, I got to imagine whatever warning, and this is a great book, I highly recommend it, but the warning that you gave us there
wasn't enough.
It's way worse. I mean, you need to raise it by DEFCON shrooms, you know? So how are you? And tell us about your update and how bad things, I mean, did you think it would be this bad?
Well, you mean, don't we wake up every day and say it can't get any worse and damned if it doesn't, you know?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
It's just, we're defying gravity right now. It's so bad. I've never seen anything like it.
That's right.
Julie, I didn't know you were going to come out of the closet.
As a former Democrat?
Yes. I have to admit, I was, me too.
Can you even recognize the Democrat? It has nothing to do with, I mean, now Chuck is right. He says it always was that way. They just hit it better. But I mean, why is anyone a Democrat these days, you know?
That's, you know what? Well, we're in a zombie apocalypse. That's why.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
the neurons don't work anymore.
Well, why don't you tell us? So you have updated your book. Why don't you tell people first about that, where they can get it? And then what? There's so much to update, I imagine. There you go.
Oh, here it is right here.
Oh, yay!
So, yes, Amazon.com. You can get it. You can go to my website. Johnstini.com, JohnStini.com. And I'll tell you what, I'll make you your viewers a deal. The first 10 orders I get from my website, I'll sign it and I'll put a $5 bill back in the book.
Wow.
That's a good deal. So, all right, everybody love deals. Everybody loves deals. You go over that again.
Go over how they do that again.
No, I'm not going to do it again. No.
Okay. Well, give your website again.
10.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So, guys, I mean, you guys should be, I got to say, the Chuck and Julie show should be mandatory listening.
Thank you.
You guys are great.
For what? As punishment for what?
How many people can talk about the end of the free world and have a good time doing it? I
there you go.
You guys are awesome.
It's but, either that or...
It's one of the things that separates people like us and the other side is we have a sense of humor.
They used to. They don't anymore. They do not anymore.
No.
And I was surrounded by them up in Denver. We're down... Hello from Colorado Springs, by the way.
Right.
Yes. We love it down here. Come see us. Mike speaks right over there. So the book, why did I write the book? Julie, you read the update, and thank you, by the way, for the help with that.
Sure.
Because we have so many problems in this country, but the fourth one, the fourth most important, maybe it's really the most important that I list in the updated chapter, is we have a lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding, and a lack of fluency on our side. We have too many people on our side who, when they stop watching Fox News or reading Town Hall or Breitbart or whatever they read to get their information, listening to the Chuck and Julie show, there is so much shit going, sorry, so much
it's a podcast.
Going down every day. The average person can't keep this in their mind.
Yes. Right.
I mean, look at this. That's my cheat sheet. I can't even remember it.
I know. No, look, these are mine. I have to make all the bets. It's like.
Mine's all up here.
Yeah, except for Chuck. I mean, but yeah, I can't keep it in my head either, but I try. And I think we're at a point where you know, this ship that we've called America is going down.
Yeah.
And the only thing that's going to stop it is the vote in November.
Yes.
Obviously, if we don't win both houses, we're dead in the water. But it's more than just voting. We were in Crested Butte a week ago, my wife and I, and amazingly, of course, I was walking around with my Trump hat on. And, you know, one of the great things, now, listen, all you guys out there and gals, you got to wear your Trump hats.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. And here's why. It's a screen. So, you know, in the Bible, it talks about sifting the wheat from the chaff, right? So the chaff's not any good. That's the Democrats.
Okay.
We want the wheat. We want people who can sprout and produce. That's us.
Yes.
Why wear a Trump hat? Because it's a screen. It repels the people you don't want to talk to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea.
It attracts the people you want to talk to.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I'm walking around, Debbie and I were in Crested Butte, and we met so many people because I'm wearing this hat. Texas, Oklahoma, Indiana, Michigan, you know, they come from everywhere to go to Crested Butte.
Right.
And one of the things I learned, and these are, I mean, these people are going to, they're going to vote the right
yes.
way in November.
Yes.
Okay. But when we were talking about the issues, they couldn't do it.
Oh, like what do you mean? Like what some of the issues?
Just, you know, off the cuff, what are the most important issues facing the country today? You'd be surprised how, I mean, inflation. Yeah. Everybody mentions inflation. You know, in the book, in the updated book, I mentioned the Quinnipiac survey that was done in May. And inflation came out number one when you average across all the people surveyed, right?
Right.
But when you talk to the Democrats, inflation wasn't number one.
What was abortion?
Ukraine was number one.
Ukraine, yeah, the good old Ukraine. Yeah.
It's like, hello.
Here's a bit of trivia. So when you guys are going out to have your coffee, not you, not Chuck and Julie, but I'm talking to your audience, and we need to strike up conversations with people. We need to find a way to do it. So keep your ears open, listen for things that you might have in common, and say, "Oh yeah, hey," and just don't be afraid.
Right.
All they can do is say no. Big deal.
Right.
But here's something you might throw out there when you're talking about Ukraine. And I used to have my Ukraine T-shirt on this morning when I was over at Starbucks. But the United States has spent $53.6 billion supporting Ukraine.
Oh, it's pledged.
You know how much
more
Europe has spent?
14, 10, 2.
Two? $2? No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
$2 billion. So the United States is spending over 25 times more money to support Ukraine than Europe, who is the neighbor of Ukraine. That's insane.
Right. Well,
we've now pledged $64.1 billion, and they added another $3.8 for the USAID and Treasury Department to pay for healthcare workers.
I mean, we could buy the whole country, right? We could buy everybody.
We have bought
the whole country. You could buy the whole country like a mansion with that, right? And
well,
like
Trump's wall was going to cost, or we spent $15 billion, round numbers,
right,
on Trump's wall,
right,
which, you know, has about that much left to be done, which the equipment was already bought. The materials were already bought.
Right, right.
Done. Nope. So they're just trickling through there by the hundreds of thousands every month.
Right.
What are the big issues today? The number one long-term issue is the open border.
Yes,
yeah.
I agree.
Biden has become president. We have 2 million new residents in the United States. We don't know where they are. We don't know who they are.
They're in Donna's backyard.
yeah, they're Dr. Donna's backyard. Well, and you're right. I mean, I was reading something. The number of people, illegal people crossing the border illegally, are more than the population of a lot of states in this country. I mean,
yeah,
it's like
Rhode Island just rolled in yesterday.
Right. And again, these are people coming in from, we don't know where, we don't know.
Everywhere.
There's security, there's all kinds of issues. Here's what's going to happen though, because, you know, Dr. Jill and her whole, you people are just like a bunch of breakfast taco comments. You know, people don't like the Hispanics. They're switching. So maybe that they'll build a border wall once they don't keep voting Democrat.
Oh, yeah. I had a high school friend who had a ranch down there. He sold his ranch. It was so unsafe.
He
leave his wife at home alone. I mean, it's an effing nightmare down there. And people have no idea. Why don't they know what's going on? This is the number one issue long term. Why is it number one? Well, each illegal alien cost us $8,000 a year every year.
Yeah.
Okay. Every year. In 2018, the United States spent $116 billion supporting illegal aliens. This is a whole package, everything that's involved. This accounts for the few that pay taxes. It's everything. So that was 2018. Now, of course, it's more than that. Plus, now we have 16 million more of them.
Well, the really sad part in the Supreme Court's last term, they were willing to overturn Roe v. Wade with all the enormous consternation and everything else. And then it came to the stay in Mexico, Trump's policy, and Roberts and Kavanaugh said, no, they can't do it. I mean, just kind of go, you just sold out the country. Do you care? Why did you decide that would be a great one to go over with the Democrats? I mean,
well, you know, and here's the thing, too, I think, just a little thing I was reading today. So all of these people, many of them coming in, they get free medical care, right? And I saw today in the Denver Post, they did a, I think I'm the only one who reads that anymore. There was a story and it says, so basically the Colorado, whatever our Colorado care is, right, going to go up 11%. 11% coming in January, right? Now, I know my personal insurance went up almost a third, right? And it's like, okay, maybe healthcare got more expensive, maybe not. But again, when you have to pay for more and more and more people and provide them free healthcare, your healthcare goes up. Somebody's paying for it. The health companies aren't saying, you know, maybe we just won't take that bonus that we were thinking. No, you know, and that's just one little teeny thing. And you're absolutely right, you know, Roy, because the Post doesn't cite any of the reasons that it has to go up. They're just saying it's going up.
Yeah. 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 So the open border long term. It's number one. Inflation short term. Number two, inflation will eventually go away. It always does. Even with the Democrats in charge, we'll have a recession. Worst case scenario. We're probably already in one. Depends how you want to define it. But it'll go away eventually. But energy. I want to talk about energy.
Okay.
We are closing coal-fired plants as fast as we can.
Well, Germany is opening them up.
Coal-fired plant sitting on its Wyoming border.
Yeah.
It's scheduled to be shut down.
Yeah.
You know what's going to back that up? Wind and solar.
Yeah, just like Germany.
You know what happens when the sun's not shining? You don't get solar energy.
Or the wind's not blowing in Texas.
But in Texas, they're telling people they can't. Yeah, the wind, it hasn't been as windy as it usually is. So,
yeah. And you know what else? This is all in the book, by the way.
Okay.
The Tesla batteries, which are the best right now to store this intermittent energy that comes from wind and solar. They tested one in Australia in 2017. They're testing one in Texas now. When they had a drawdown on it to test it, see how long it lasted 1 hour.
Oh,
not bad.
Well, there you
not
go.
Not bad.
So
when you think about when do you need energy? Well, you need it when it's real cold. Okay, when it's real cold, it's snowing, it's cloudy.
Yeah.
And when cold pressure comes in, the wind stops. It blows like hell when it comes in, right?
Right.
Well, the wind turbines have to stop at 25 miles an hour. Otherwise, they just spin off.
Okay.
They'll self-destruct. So they've got a maximum speed, wind speed of 25 miles an hour. When that front is coming through, the wind's going a lot more than that. So there's no wind power when it's coming in. Once it's in, we're in the doldrums. There's no wind.
Right.
There's also no solar. This is what happened in Texas in 2020. Right. 23 people died because ERCOT, the Energy Commission of the state of Texas under the illustrious Governor Greg Abbott, you know, God bless him, he's a great guy, but he doesn't know anything about science.
Right.
The morons at the University of Houston.
Right.
Okay. A year later, 23 people are dead because they made a commitment to wind instead of natural gas and nuclear.
Oh, I know. It's the energy situation, I think, and like I was saying at the beginning of the show, and then that has, they're talking about the food inflation now is only at 12%, but that was with the gas prices and the fuel prices and the fertilizer prices from last season. Now that those have gone up, you know, enormously, the food prices are going to go up too. I mean, everything's going
to
go up.
If I had to list my most important ones, open border would be one, trade would be two. And trade includes energy. I mean, that's part of the fact that now we're importing all the energy. Because eventually, when you give away all your production and everything else, you don't have an economy anymore.
And what you've got too, though, is you've got these countries, Brazil, India, Russia, China. They're not buying into the green nonsense, right? They're like, you guys go ahead, shut down all of your Hey, we make the solar panels anyway. We're going to raise those. I mean, so you're going to have, I think, this development of kind of two different world economies. And pretty soon, we're all going to be clamoring to get into India. And I don't think India is going to have an open border. They're going to be like,
no. I got a lot of people already there.
We're exporting almost four times more coal today than we were 10 years ago. We're still mining coal. We just don't burn it here. 40% of the world.
I don't mean to laugh, but it's like so stupid. It's so stupid.
It's insane. This is why I said maybe the number one problem is the lack of knowledge. That's why this book is so important. Because you know, we can have chats like we're having today. You can listen to your favorite news station. You can read, you know, the Epoch Times, Wall Street Journal. Take your pick. It's just a snapshot in time.
Right.
And you can't remember it. You don't have to remember it now. Buy the book.
It's right there.
Buy the book.
It is good.
Why I wrote the book.
Because that's real. And we're doing this backwards. Give people real quickly, because we only got about three more minutes, your background. Okay. Besides
being a PhD in plant genetics, I was a university professor for my initial years, went into business and agribusiness. You know, things went well for me in my career. I moved into the food business and I spent 25 years in food ingredient business, ran a global business for a Swiss global company. And then I started a consulting business at the very end. And now I lose money writing books and doing stuff.
Kind of like we do doing podcasts, but it's fun. Well, let me ask you really just a couple more questions. What about, I mean, you know, with your background in the food, you know, they keep telling us, and sometimes I think it's like, you know, we should listen that, you know, well, you know, world famine is going to be a thing. Food shortages are going to be a thing. Part of the new liberal world order. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Bill Gates and the World Economic Forum, all of these commies are what we call neo-Malthusians.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You remember Malthus back in 1776? He thought the population was going to grow so fast it would outstrip the ability of the globe to supply food. Okay. Well, Bill Gates and his people are trying to ensure that happens right now.
Right.
I mean,
well, the good part about
Prime Minister in Denmark.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear about this? He wants to shut down the use of nitrogen fertilizer on crops.
Right. We saw how well that worked in Sri Lanka.
I tell you, if you want a famine real fast, stop fertilizing the crops. In fact, let's all eat organic and tomorrow we'll die.
Actually, that's Holland, not Denmark.
Right. But here's the thing. And organic is...
Holland.
And that's when you say organic, I always am suspicious of that anyway, right? I mean, so maybe the farmers are, well, you know, it's all going to be the Avengers, you know, where Thanos snaps his finger and half the world dies. It's like that's going to be a documentary.
Well, here's one good thing that Malthus had right.
We'll be around to see it. It's a problem.
Here's a good part. The food supply does not outstrip the population or go under for very long. because you don't live very long without food. You get, it'll readjust real quick, a couple of weeks, and problem solved.
That's true.
Now, you know what else you don't live with, Chuck? Oxygen.
Yeah.
And we're worried about CO2.
Yeah.
Without CO2, we don't have oxygen, right?
Right.
Photosynthesis. CO2 is a plant food. The plants love it, and they go through the metabolic process and spit out oxygen so we can survive.
Right.
We got to have CO2. If you go on NASA's website today, you can find a site where a satellite photo of the globe, it's greener today than it was 30 years ago. Why? Because of CO2.
So we're running out of oxygen too, and they don't tell us that?
No. I'm just saying, I'm turning the argument back on those morons are climate alarmists. I want to mention one other thing. It's a very insidious problem, and that's diversity, inclusion, and equity.
Oh.
This is the CRT, the critical race theory,
ESG,
gender fluidity, all of that crapola. This is child abuse.
Yes.
Who is the problem? The problem, did you know the United Nations was helping fund the NGOs that are bringing the illegals into the United States?
They're sending all the money down to Mexico. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But anyway, the United Nations is also promoting, if you go on the United Nations mission statement, then look at the Teachers Association, NEA, the American Teachers Foundation, those, and then you look at the Democratic Party, you look at the mission statements of all of them. They're mirror images. And one of the things that's on there is diversity, inclusion, and equity. Those three things are going to, they're another thing that's killing us. That's our culture.
Right.
And they're look at what the Disney company has done.
Oh, yeah. They're doing that to shut us all up. Yeah, they're doing that to silence us. Hey, listen, last question. Once again, go over where people can get your book. And I highly recommend it. And Chuck and I gave a review of it in the beginning, too. So
yes, thank you very much. And your review is right here.
There we go.
All right.
Roy Johnson, where can folks get
Amazon.com. Amazon.com. I'm working on getting it in bookstores. You can request it. It's set up where you can ask your bookstore to order it. We all fall down. And then on my website, Johnstini, JohnStini.com.
All right. Sir, thank you very much.
Great to have you.
To see you again.
Love you guys.
All right. All right. Thank you there. So coming up then on Friday, it's going to be Party Friday. Everybody be thinking of their favorite movies. TJ, our producer.
I have a feeling that Roy and I would have very similar films. So we should get his view of what the best films are.
Your 10 best movies too. Everybody, that'll do it for us today. Thank you. Remember, chuckandjulie.com is where you can catch links to our show on whatever format you want to watch it, except YouTube, where we were banned more than a year ago. With pride. Exactly. Thank you to the great guys at BBS. Thank you, everyone on Zoom.
Thanks, everybody, for all your comments. We always love them.
That's right. And we will see everybody on Party Friday.
Bye-bye.